you have a good day planned. Hope you have a relaxing day planned. That'll be good. I got Becky up early this morning, had her do the dishes. I didn't want her to have to do them later. All right. I need a couple of men that can help me pass through this out. So if you did not take the spiritual gifts test online, if you've been waiting for the paper one, we have them. So just put your hand up if you need one, and they will bring them around to you. I have some more too if you need them. So, but if you took the electronic one, just wait. If we have any extras and you want a paper one, we can certainly do that. But we just want to make sure that everyone gets to take the test. So if you did the electronic one, just hang on a minute. But if you didn't and you want to do the paper test, that's what they're passing out right now. And I will take just a moment and tell you how that is done. It can be a little bit confusing. Well, they're donations. Now the church got those, and if we need to get more, we can. So just let us know. So make sure that everybody has one. And again, if you took the electronic one, it's the same test. There's nothing different here. It's just this is the paper version. So anybody else? Got two in the back there, Mike. Two in the back.
Okay.
You need another one up here?
Oh. Just one.
Okay. Take Kevin. Take this one. All right. All right, so we have a few left over. So if you do... I have seven left over, so if you'd like to get a copy of the paper form, just see me afterwards when you do that. So at the very beginning of the booklet is the questions, okay? In the middle of the booklet is the answer sheet, okay? So, and they just match, obviously, one for one and such. So as you answer them, there's three possible answers. Almost always, occasionally, and not very often. That's how you're going to answer them, okay? There's no right and wrong. Be painfully honest with yourself as you answer them. And don't answer them according to how you wish you were or what you're hoping to grow into. Answer it for how you are now, okay? Because I remember the first time I took one of these, I was marking all these, and I got a whole bunch of high scores. And the pastor said to me, he goes, that's kind of hard to do. He's like, what did you do? And I go, well, I'm not real strong in this, but I want to be. He goes, nah. You need to start over again, and stuff. So that's what you do. But listen, if you look at the answers with the little bubbles, and then there's a second page, don't separate them, because as you color in the bubbles, it's going to mark the answer key on the next page for you, okay? So then when you get all done answering the questions, then separate it, okay? And then, starting at the top one, the evangelist, you're going to just add up all the colored in bubbles, okay? And that's going to tell you what your score is there. And if you want to, you can put an X in whatever number it is and make a bar graph out of it and stuff. But that's how the test is done, okay? So don't separate them until you're all done answering the questions. And when you're all done, separate them and then add up the numbers that are colored in. Add them up. And that'll give you an idea of where your strong points are, where your not strong points are. I don't want to use the word weak points, because if you didn't get a certain spiritual gift, it doesn't mean you're weak in that area. It just means that's not what God gave you to do. So it's not a weak point. It's just there's going to be things that you're going to be stronger with, and there are going to be others. So that's the test, okay? So don't do it right now. Don't do it right now. want to do it during the morning service, that's up to you. Next week we'll finish up our series on spiritual gifts, and I can only speak for myself, but I have absolutely enjoyed it. I really enjoyed having this class and being able to go through this and look at these, and I do trust it's been a blessing to you, and I do trust that when it's all done, you're going to have a little clarity as far as the things that God's equipped you for and the things that God has wants to do with you, you know, so... and this is the other thing too. You know, you may get the spiritual gifts test done and everything, have some clarity on it, go, okay, now I know what my gift is. Now how can I use that? So that's where you gotta go see the pastor. Okay? Go see the pastor, because he's always got things that are going on, he's got projects, he's got ideas for new classes, there's just all kinds of things that are going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. And so if you're like, okay, I got it. I know what my spiritual gift is. Now, how can I use that? Please see the pastor and let him know, and I'm sure that he'll be able to help you out. I know when we started this, it was a little bit of joking about when we're all done, we're going to send around a clipboard, you know, and sign it up, you know. And so, so today we're going to look at three more gifts today. And the first one we're going to look at is the gift of administration. So if you would take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12, please. Also, put your finger in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll be back and forth between the two of them. But as you're turning there, let me open the word prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for our time here this morning. And thank you for the study. Thank you for the time that we've had together over these weeks. And Lord, just being able to look into your word. And Father, we thank you for how clear your word is on these things. And Father, as we are discovering what our spiritual gifts are, as we are discovering, Lord, what you have put within us and how it is that you want to use us, Father, I pray that you would help us to be faithful to those things, be faithful to what you've given to us. And Lord, I just pray that you would give us wisdom and understanding and discernment. Father, I pray for this Sunday school class this morning. Help me with the verses, with the topics. And Lord, I just pray that through this time, Lord, we would just gain some more wisdom, Father, this morning. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for how powerful it is. Thank you for what we can learn from it. Thank you for the guidance we can have through your Holy Spirit and your word. Thank you for all that you've done with us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Romans chapter 12, in verse number 8, it says this: Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. The word we're going to look at this morning is that ruleth. And if you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 28, 1 Corinthians 12, in verse 28, this is really that gift of administration. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, it says, And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. And so we're going to look at the gift of administration. The gift of administration, or the gift of ruling. Sometimes, certainly, we want to see that gift exercised through our spiritual leaders, you know, our pastors and such. But there are those that are not pastors, but do have that spiritual gift of administration. They're able to organize. They're able to direct. They're able to see the big picture, you know. I've known some dear faithful saints over the years that had the gift of administration. They would be the ones that led or were in charge of our vacation Bible school or different projects. You know, maybe during our missions conference, there was somebody that just had that gift. And we put them in charge of the missions conference, and then they would bring everything together as far as the dinners go, as far as making sure the missionaries were taken care of and such. And so there's that ability to organize, to administer, and to promote various affairs, various things within the church. As far as our home is concerned, as far as we are personally, Becky has this gift of administration probably a little bit more than I do. Actually, definitely more than I do. I'm kind of more of a let's wing it kind of person, and she's got everything figured out, and she's got it planned out, and she may have everything written down, notes, charts, graphs, you know, PowerPoints, whatever it might take to get through to the rest of us, you know, but just that administration, being able to see the big picture and being able to put that all together. A lot of times people with the gift of administration like to be behind the scenes. They're not the ones that are right out in front, you know, standing up front, leading the thing, but they're behind the scenes. They're that driving force, keeping everything on track and keeping everything going. If we turn over to Titus chapter 1, we have a great example here. Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1, I'll start reading verse number 1. Titus 1, starting verse number 1, says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Now listen to this in verses 4 and 5. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, and it goes on to list the qualifications there. But Titus had that gift of administration. Titus is a good example of this here. Paul left him there to put things in order, to ordain people, to put things in order in the church there. And so he had to give that task to somebody that had that ability to administer, to rule, to see that task through, to get things set in order. And so this gift of administration is that gift, to be able to organize and to be able to see the task through, to see all the pieces of it, to bring about the finished product and such. So that's that gift of administration. The next one we're going to look at, if we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse number 9, it says this, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And we know we looked at the gifts of healing when we were looking at those temporary or those sign gifts, but the gift of faith, this is interesting. Aren't we all supposed to have faith? Well, of course. And we all do have faith to some degree. So what is this gift of faith talking about? We're certainly not talking about saving faith, because that is the faith that is given to all repentant sinners as they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that amount of faith is given to them to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ came, died on the cross for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. We believe that by faith. There's also a sanctifying faith. That is the faith that's available to all believers as we're growing in the Lord. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, the sanctifying faith is we're growing in the Lord and we're becoming more Christ-like, and some of those old things are being cleaned out of our lives, and you know, the Holy Spirit's doing that work within us. That's that sanctifying faith. And we all have that. You know, as believers, we have that sanctifying faith. This gift of faith is that gift that allows some of the believers to believe and expect just great things from God. Now, at first you would think, well, aren't we all supposed to be like that? Aren't we all supposed to do that? I don't know, anybody, and you don't have to raise your hand, but I'm gonna start a club, and it's going to be the pessimist club. Now, if you're an optimist, you're not going to get along very good in that club. But the pessimist club, we're the ones that are, you know, on a nice bright and sunny day, we know that tomorrow's going to rain. We're the ones that, boy, you know, everything just kind of went good today, yeah, but that just means things are going to be so much worse tomorrow. You know? So, but these people that have the gift of faith, these are the ones that no matter what the task, no matter what's set before them, no matter what, they are just expecting that God is going to just move greatly and get it done. Where those that are not so strong in this faith are going, you know, I do believe that God can do it, just not sure he's going to do it. You know what I mean? Now, I'm going to say I've been there. you know, I struggle with that at times, you know. Maybe you guys are all a lot more spiritual than me, and you don't do that and stuff, but there are times that the pastor, not necessarily our pastor, I don't think it's happened since we've been here, but there are times that pastor will get up and he'll announce, this is what we're going to do, you know? And if it's big, if it's like outside the box, it's a big task, it's something big to go after, something that we've never done before, or something that's really going to stretch us, or something like that, there are going to be those that are going to be, yes, we're going to do this. And there are going to be those that are going to go, I don't know. You know, if you're one of those people that just kind of, I don't know, your faith is not, your gift of faith is not going to be real high, okay? I want to be real careful with this one, though, because it doesn't mean you don't have any faith. And I want you to understand this as well. Our faith is meant to grow. You understand that? In all honesty, we all start at the same place when we get saved, that we trust Christ as our Savior, that faith. And then that sanctifying faith that we put into practice as we're reading our Bible and we're studying and we're learning and things are getting cleaned up in our lives and our faith is growing. As we see God answer prayer, our faith is growing, you know? And so our faith is going to grow, and I certainly hope and trust that if you're sitting here this morning and you're saved, your faith has grown through your Christian life. It's not where it was when you first got saved. You have seen God do some things in your life, and you are trusting God in a greater amount now. This is that person that has that inside them that is just like, no matter what the task, no matter how big, no matter what it is, they're just like, yes, I just know that we're going to be able to do this. You know, that's the gift that we're talking about here this morning. So I hope you understand that. I hope you see where I'm going with that. But there's just those that just have that ability. It's just like, yeah, we're gonna conquer that thing. We're gonna do it, you know. And there's gonna be others that are gonna be more that want to see. Well, how are we gonna do it? How are we gonna get there? And then, you know, at the end, we get there and we see it done, and it's all accomplished. We're all rejoicing together. But there have been some that were just right out in front going for it, and there were those that were like, yeah, I'm here. I'll help however I can. Just not sure this is really gonna come together, you know. And so that's really what we're looking at here. So if you're a pessimist, if you're the one that that definitely sees the cloud in the blue sky day and that kind of thing, you know, be of good cheer. keep looking up, keep praying. And I would challenge you this way too. And I do, you know, we'll speak from experience here. There are going to be things in your life that God is going to challenge you with where you are going to say, well, I just don't know. But we just trust Him. And we take those steps and we just allow Him to work and we see the thing accomplished. And guess what? Your faith just grew a little. You know? And that's really what we're looking at here, okay? There are those that are just going to, they're just going to go for it. There are those that are just going to grow into it. But this is what we're talking about with the gift of faith. The next one we look at is the gift of teaching. In Rome, we're in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, again. And God had set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So we see teachers here in Romans chapter 12. If you still have your finger in there, Romans chapter 12, in verse number 7. Romans 12, verse number 7, says, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. There is a gift of teaching. The gift of teaching is that ability to communicate and clarify the details of the Word of God, causing spiritual growth in the body of Christ. You know, they just have a way of delivering. They just have a way of getting you to understand it. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to sit under the teaching of someone that had a vocabulary that was more extensive than your own. It can be tough. I remember when I was in Bible school, I had you know, different professors, different teachers and such, and we had one that his language was just, he used these million-dollar words all the time. And, you know, sometimes you come out of class and you're like, man, I just don't know what we're getting here, you know? And then there were others that just were just plain spoken, just brought it right down to our level and just, they just talked to us and you know, just had that ability. So this gift of teaching, at least three steps are involved in being a good teacher, having the gift of teaching. First, you have information. What does the passage say? When they open the scriptures and they look at it and they're sharing, and when we were doing the Bible Institute there on Monday nights, I was doing the class on presenting and on teaching the Word of God. And this one is so important, the information. What does the passage say? What's going on? What was happening at the time? What's the historical significance here? You know, we certainly know that all the scripture is for us, but it wasn't all written to us. You know, so what was going on? What happened in that time? You know, the information that is contained in there. The second step is interpretation, explaining the scriptures. What does the passage mean? What, you know, we look at historically why it was written, what was going on at the time, what was the lesson being taught then. And then thirdly, there's application. How does the passage apply to my life or to us today? You know, and anyone that's a teacher and has that gift of teaching will do these three things. They're going to explain what's going on. They're going to interpret it. They're going to give further explanation and paint a good picture of it. And then, as everything gets wrapped up, it's how does it apply to me? How can I use this in my life? What am I going to do with this? The gift of teaching is an important gift in the life of a church. You know, we have to have teachers. You know, it can't just be the pastor. You know, we need people that are gonna teach classes like this one and like others that are going on. You know, teaching the children in children's church, teaching the Sunday school classes. The youth group gets together and they have their times and stuff like that. You have somebody that can accurately bring forth those lessons and teach them. I mean, the last thing you want to do when you're all done at the end of the class is have people going out going, what was that all about? You know? Man, that's 45 minutes I won't get back, you know? And that's bad, you know? You want to, when they go out, I know myself, I always enjoyed those moments when you could just hear somewhere out there, you could just hear somebody go, huh, I like that. Because it means that somebody got something, you know? And I've heard that, huh, at times that I don't know what they got, you know? As they're reading, as I'm explaining, as I'm teaching, whatever, the Holy Spirit showed them something, and they got some truth, they got grounded on something, you know? And I just love those moments, you know? I just, when you hear that, you know? And I know as a pastor, when, you know, people leaving the church at the end of the service and stuff, and to be able to say, oh man, you know, that message really spoke to me. The Lord really just convicted my heart about, and you think, man, I didn't say anything about that. You know? But you know, as you were teaching and as you were explaining and as you were applying and using application stuff like that, the Holy Spirit was taking that message and taking that lesson and applying it personally to that person's life. And boy, isn't that amazing? I mean, really. I mean, to think that we can take Christians. Let's take three different Christians at different stages of their Christian life and give them one passage of scripture to read, and then ask them what they got out of it. You're going to get three different answers, but they're all going to be correct. You understand? Because it's going to be based on what they already know. It's going to be based on their Christian experience. It might be influenced by their life experience, things like that. You know, I always like it. I won't use the church as this setting, but have you ever known anybody out in the world that is shall we say, wet behind the ears? Haven't got a whole lot of years under their belt, but boy, they know everything. You ever run into anybody like that? Oh my goodness, I tell you. Usually it's a magical age somewhere between 17 and 25. 14 and 25? Okay. All right, so we have some overachievers. You know, I can remember being in that age group and thinking, man, my dad just hasn't got a clue. But you know, the older I get, the smarter my dad became. You know? And that growing up time that you know, coming into your own and I know what we're going to do and I know a better way and I know all that and everything. And then to realize that, hey, you know what, the older person involved in this situation really did know a little bit better than me, you know. I tell you, just, it can be aggravating sometimes to just have to be dealing with that, you know. When you have the gift of teaching, when somebody teaches, you want somebody that knows the topic. You want somebody that's studied and been diligent and knows what they're presenting. But you don't want somebody that is a know-it-all and really cocky and just arrogant. And, you know, when you have that gift of teaching, it's something the Lord has put in you and given you an ability to explain, but it's not so that you can stand up and go, hey, look, everybody, look at me. Because guess what? You're not revealing any new truth. You're just helping to explain. You're just helping, hopefully, some folks to understand and such. We have some examples of this in the scriptures. If we go to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, Acts chapter 20, verse 27. In Acts 20, verse 27, Paul is writing, he says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." You know, I taught you, I shared with you, I declared unto you the counsel of God. In Acts chapter 18, we find two examples here. In Acts chapter 18, in verse number 24, we are introduced to a man by the name of Apollos. Acts chapter 18, in verse 24, it says, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus." So at first, we're thinking, you know, he's got it. He's got the pedigree, he's got the education, he's got it, okay? But watch this. "This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John." So he was a good teacher, and he was teaching accurately, and he was teaching what he knew, but he didn't know it all. He was lacking some things. So watch this in verse 26. "And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla," now we're introducing two more, "had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly." But remember, when we're looking at the gospel times, there was John the Baptist went out and he was preaching repentance. He was preaching, and people were believing, but they were believing John the Baptist, remember? And they said that when Jesus came on the scene, you know, they needed to give some explanation to some of John's teaching and such. So here we have Apollos that not necessarily preached anything wrong, but he only knew just so much. And then Aquila and Priscilla heard him. They knew that he was lacking some things, so they bring him aside. And look what they did here. "And they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass unto Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ." So he was teaching, and he was a good teacher, but he was missing a couple things. So then we have Aquila and Priscilla that come alongside. So what other gift would Aquila and Priscilla have used in this situation? Exhortation. Yes. Good. Yes, exactly. Exactly. They said, you know, you're doing a good job, but you're missing something. Let me show you what you're missing. He took it, he understood it, and then he took that message forward, and he just started teaching that. He started teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. So we have the example here of three different people, Paul, Apollos, and then Aquila and Priscilla, having that gift of teaching. And so important that is in the church there, and in the church here, I should say, to be able to just really bring forth the scriptures. How many of you have just had a teacher that you just loved? They just really, you just learned a lot from them. And it was somebody that you knew, they loved what they were doing, they loved the topic, they just enjoyed the time that you spent with them with it. Now, how many of you have had a teacher that was not like that? Probably the same number of hands, right? Yeah, we've all had teachers like that. Oh my goodness! I remember in high school, and I know this isn't a spiritual gift, but I had a couple of different math teachers in high school, and I had one that just really enjoyed math and made it fun, and I enjoyed that class. And then I had another one that was just like, the answer to number 10 is this, and it was just a pain, you know. And so, if you have the gift of teaching, first of all, the time that you're going to spend on a lesson is going to be an enjoyment to you. You're going to enjoy digging into it. You're going to enjoy doing the research. You're going to enjoy making sure that you have all that. And the thing about it is, and we looked at this when we were doing the class on Monday night, there's a lot of research and a lot of time that goes into preparing the lesson that doesn't necessarily come out in the lesson, you know? I mean, you might only have a half hour or 40 minutes for your lesson. You might put 8 or 10 hours worth of study into that, you know? But when you do, that half hour to 40 minutes is so much, is so, the only word I can think of is blessed. There's just 40 minutes, and it just didn't seem like 40 minutes. It just didn't, how many of you have been listening to somebody teach, and you're just like, wow, I can't believe the time is gone already, you know? You know, I mean, we just know that, right? And so this person has this gift of teaching, has this ability, you know, they just have a way of just bringing it right home where the rubber meets the road and let it just, that we understand it and we can apply it to our lives and can bring forth that lesson in that way. So we have that gift of teaching as well. I don't know if I should dive into another one at this point. Let's start it. Let's see how we do here, okay? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Somebody keep track of the time for me, though, in case I get going. All of you keep track of the time for me. When we get to 10 of, just stand up and walk away. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Some pastors and teachers. There is a gift of evangelism. There is a gift of evangelism. Now, we are all commanded to share the gospel. We are all commanded to be a witness. Okay? We are. We don't even need to go to scripture. You know it. You know, we're all commanded that we are to be witnesses in this life. But there are those that have this gift of evangelism. And I'll give you a kind of an example of that. I read a book by a man that was very much into evangelism, soul winning, and things like that. And he wrote this book, and he was giving examples of different examples throughout his life, you know, and opportunities that he had to share the gospel with people and stuff. And this guy had the ability that no matter what conversation he was having, he could point it to Jesus. You know, he talked about one day being out and visiting a guy, and he was working on his car, and they're talking about the car and all that and everything, and the guy said something, and it just sparked something with him, and all of a sudden he starts talking about Christ and him being the only way to heaven and all this and everything. And he just had this way of, no matter what conversation he was in, he had the ability to turn that into a gospel presentation, you know? I can honestly say, I don't have that gift. I don't. Now, I know how to share the gospel. I'm willing to share the gospel. But sometimes, I'll hear somebody bridge into that in a conversation and go, wow, that was really good. I wonder how they thought of that, you know? How did that come together, you know? They just have that ability within them to be able to do that. The gift here is of evangelism. There's a personal aspect, but there's also, for evangelism, there's also that pioneering aspect, you know? The evangelist is the one that wants to go into new territories. The evangelist is the one that wants to go where there's no believers, that wants to go where there's no gospel witness, where there's no, you know, a lot of our missionaries would have this gift, you know, there's no gospel witness there, I've got to go, I've got to do it, you know, where those of us that have it, have this gift, but more on the personal aspect of it, are just, you know, I want to be a faithful witness where I am. If somebody were to ask a question, I would answer it, you know, and like that, but they don't have that, I'm going to reach a little further, I'm just going to go out and be a little bit further out there. If we go to Acts chapter 8, this is very familiar to you. Sure, Philip. Example of Philip here. And I thought, I remember studying this years ago, and Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch and such, but Acts chapter 8, we'll start reading verse number 5. We'll read that in just a moment. But if you remember the situation with Philip, is he's in a city, where people are believing, the church is growing, there's all kinds of things going on, but then the Spirit directs him and takes him out into the wilderness, you know? And he goes. You know, we see a great obedience in this example of Philip here in Acts chapter 8. And I'll start reading verse number 5. It says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, and giving out that himself was some great one." We looked at this when we were looking at one of the other gifts here. It says, "And to him," verse 11, "and to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." And then we go along in the account here, and we find that Philip goes to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he explains the scriptures to him there. He teaches him, you know. He exhorts him. You know, we see Philip using a few of the gifts here in this example and such. But this this gift of the evangelism, the personal aspect, as he's teaching here in Samaria, and people are getting saved and people are believing, also that he was used in the life of this person, Simon, and then, of course, with the Ethiopian eunuch and such. So he had this gift of evangelism and being able to share the gospel with people and being able to see people get saved and such. We know Peter possessed it. We saw that in Acts chapter 2. Paul possessed it. We see in Acts chapter 19 and throughout the New Testament, really, with the example of Paul. That pioneering, that evangelistic pioneering aspect, though, there's many examples of that as well, as those people were directed of the Holy Spirit to go into different areas and to go and bring that gospel message. And this gift of evangelism, it really, there's two, it's twofold, really, in this gift. And there are those that are just faithful witnesses. It just flows from them. And there's others that it's kind of a struggle, you know. Not that we're not disobedient, but it doesn't just flow as easily as it does from some others, you know. I can remember we were going to do a Saturday visitation and things like that and stuff. And it was tough. It was tough. I have a hard time, you know, just knocking on that door. I have a hard time doing that, you know. And there are others that are just like any opportunity, anywhere, anytime, and you know, just being able to just share that gospel message, and in any conversation, being able to look for that open spot to be able to put that in there. You know, it's quite a gift. It really is, and God will use it greatly, and he uses it in the growth of his church, in the spreading of his gospel and everything. But again, if you don't have that gift or it's not very high on your list, doesn't mean we're not supposed to witness. Okay? We all are supposed to witness. We're all supposed to take those opportunities that the Holy Spirit gives us, you know? You never know how the Holy Spirit's going to use you in someone's life as seeds are planted and watered, and then, of course, God gives the increase. And, you know, to have a part in that, you know, we're all supposed to be obedient to that. But there are those that have this gift of evangelism that it just is, it's just second nature to them. It's just any aspect, any conversation, any situation, they can just bring out a gospel witness out of that. You know, it's an amazing gift, really. It really is. So we have this gift of evangelism as well. And so I am going to, we'll hit a little bit more on this next week, and then we'll finish up with the last one, the gift of the pastor-teacher. And we'll finish up with that next week. And then we'll talk about the test a little bit, talk about where we go from here, and things like that. So, but that's where we're at. So, all right, thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we've had this morning. Thank you for your word. And again, Lord, thank you for the spiritual gifts that you've given to us. Father, thank you for how you have equipped each of us and to make a complete body. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to understand, to have discernment with our gifts, but also, Lord, when necessary, to have boldness. Father, thank you for the time we've had together. We pray for the morning service. Pray for Pastor. Lord, just speak to our hearts this morning, and just pray that you would just challenge us, Lord, with your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.